A rabbi friend of mine likes to say that the vocation of the Jewish people is tikkun olam. That's spelled T-I-K-K-U-N, O-L-A-M. And in Hebrew, it means healing the world. The idea is rooted in passages like the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah today, in which God says, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The salvation involves nothing less than the whole transformation of life in which hunger and violence, racism and poverty, selfishness and suffering have been banished. This universal view of the mission of the Jewish people stood then as it stands now in bold contrast to any narrow nationalistic focus. This emphasis on healing is rooted in the restoration and redemption of Israel, which at the time of this passage from Isaiah, they were in exile. It's not by chance that the Hebrew word shalom means both healing and salvation. Isaiah is telling those people in exile, shalom is for all people. Now, I think most of us would agree that right now the world is in short supply of shalom. Another mass shooting at an airport, another bombing in Europe, more bloodshed in the Middle East. Everywhere you look, people are worried. They're even fearful for their safety. No one knows what this new year is going to bring. People are much more concerned about protecting what they have than they are about healing the world. In times like this, it's natural to circle the wagons, to head for cover, to play it safe. Being concerned about the well-being of others seems like something reserved for better times. But the irony is that in the Bible, it's precisely in troubled times that God issues the call to tikkun olam. Isaiah is not writing to the Jewish people at the top of their game. They are at their lowest point. Their nation has been destroyed. They have been hauled off into captivity in Babylon. It was when their future looked the bleakest that God spoke a word of hope to them. You are to be my instrument of healing for the whole world. You will become a light to the nations. An old friend of mine back in my days in Arkansas was the nephew of an Episcopal bishop. My friend's name was Joe Tucker. His uncle was a very interesting person. His name was Henry St. George Tucker. He was Bishop of Virginia and later presiding bishop from 1938 to 1946, a very tumultuous period in world history. According to Joe, one day after the bishop had visited a particular parish, as he was greeting people afterwards, somebody said, Bishop, I've got a question for you. What would you do if our church had just burned down? What would you say to us? And without a moment lost, the bishop said, I'd take up a missionary offering. And the man was astounded. You would do what? Why would you take up a missionary offering? And in that deep Virginia accent, he said, because the light that shineth farthest into the darkness shines brightest at its source. He was referring to those gigantic searchlights that they used to have at carnivals, you know, that shoot that beam of light up and it goes this way and that way. Well, if you've ever been close to one of those searchlights, it's blinding down close to the machine itself. I've always remembered that answer. The light that shines bright, farthest into the darkness shines brightest at its source. And that has always been God's answer to us when we begin to despair about the world. I also remember the words of Martin Luther's wife. One day, Luther was moaning and groaning about how terrible things were going for the Reformation. And Katie von Bora, his wife, looked at him and she said, "Martin, I didn't get the message." And Luther said, "What message?" She looked him right in the eye and she said, "God died and left you in charge." You know, those clergy spouses can be a tough bunch. So, the church always needs to be reminded that our own mission remains that of tikkun olam, the healing of the world, even in the worst of times. The church exists to share the good news of the healing power of Jesus with the whole world in good times and bad. And wherever there is brokenness of any sort in the world, God calls us to tikkun olam in the name of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're like me and you hear the call to heal the world, you may be like me and say, "Oy vey, the darkness is so vast and my light is so small. How can I heal the world?" And the answer to that lies in our gospel lesson. John the Baptist was standing with a couple of his disciples when he saw Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Which, of course, for him meant Messiah. And naturally, the two disciples wanted to find out more about this Jesus, the Lamb of God. So they start following around, and Jesus turned and asked, "Well, what do you want?" And they say, "Well, we want to know where you're staying." And Jesus replied, "Come and see," which they did. Now, one of the two was named Andrew, and he went to fetch his brother, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of John. And that was the most important thing that Andrew ever did in his whole life, because Simon Bar-Jonah became Peter, Jesus' right-hand man. Now, thinking about what all this might mean for us, who we are also called to be light to the nations and to engage in the healing of the world, it begins with our hearing that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God, wanting to know more about him. It has to do with us accepting his invitation to come and see, to spend some time with him. Having experienced the warmth of Jesus' love, our faith deepens. And we're emboldened to invite others to come and see. My friends, when the going gets tough, it's time to go back to the source of the light, back to the basics. And for us, those basics are contained in the promises of the baptismal covenant, which we will be renewing following this sermon. Not because you need to renew your faith, not because of my sermon, but because the baptismal covenant contains the essence of our Christian faith. It's about recognizing who Jesus is and what it means to be his people. The Jesus movement, as our presiding bishop loves to say. My friends, the light that we have to shine in the darkness is not our light. It's Jesus' light. We're just called to be light bearers. If someone asks, "What does that mean?" the answer is simply, come and see. Come and see what Jesus is doing for us, what Jesus is doing in us, and what Jesus is doing with us. That's what we have to offer the world. Now, together, we don't have the answers to all the world's problems, but we do have our hands on that great spotlight that can shine far into the darkness. Our task is to get clear where in our lives as individuals and as a congregation that light is already shining, and be ready to let it shine into the dark corners of the world we live in. Friends, it's so natural, so very human to want to share good news about life and light. We at Emmanuel have so much of both to share with anyone who is looking for it. We never know what such sharing will bring. But God's promise is that when that sharing has taken place, we have already participated in the healing of the world. We have already let the light of Christ shine through us. So thank you, Rabbi Talvi, for teaching me all about Tikkun Olam. May that become our common calling, the mission of all who've been grasped by the healing power of God's love. God knows the world needs a whole lot of healing. So friends in Christ, working together with the help of God's Spirit, we can make a difference. And let such light shine out from this very place.